Grüß euch und willkommen zu diesem Programm über Mehrsprachigkeit. Bonjour et bienvenue à ce programme sur le multilinguisme. Hola y bienvenidos a este programa sobre multilinguismo. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu diesem Programm über Mehrsprachigkeit. Ciao e benvenuto a questo programma sul multilinguismo. Hola, benvenuto a este programa in materia di multilinguismo.
Hello and welcome to this Swiss Info program, which, in case you missed it, is all about multilingualism. I'm Susan Masika. First of all, what is multilingualism? Well, it's not only when a person can speak many languages, like Swiss Info's Belén Couthéro, whom you heard there, and who will later explain the day-to-day challenges of being able to speak all of Switzerland's official languages fluently. Multilingualism can also apply to countries which have more than one official language, but whose inhabitants are in most cases not multilingual. In this program, Swissinfo's Thomas Stevens looks at the situation in Switzerland, which has three official languages, German, French, and Italian, and where many people, although certainly not the majority, can get by in all three, not to mention English. He also compares the experience of Switzerland with that of Canada, which is officially bilingual, and where around four-fifths of the province of Quebec have French as a mother tongue.
I can hold a conversation in four languages. Not bad for a Brit, whose default when abroad is usually to speaking English slower and louder, but it's unlikely to impress many people in Switzerland, where multilingualism is a way of life. According to a survey in 2014, 1 in 10 Swiss aged over 15 speaks three or more languages every day, either at home, at work, or in the classroom. More than a quarter use two languages every day. Most of my colleagues in Swissinfo's 10 language departments can speak or translate at least three languages. Some, however, really do put the lot in polyglot and can converse in more than double that. Belén Couthéro, head of Swissinfo's Spanish department, is one of them. She grew up in Switzerland and speaks German, Swiss German, Italian, French, Spanish, Portuguese and English. I started off by asking her whether it's ever difficult when she meets another Swiss person working out which language to speak.
Not really, because, well, maybe you meet this person at a meeting, maybe it's in the German-speaking part of Switzerland, and maybe this person will speak German, but you can hear from the accent that this person is Italian-speaking or French-speaking, so I probably will switch to their language.
Is there a polite and accepted way of suggesting, would you like to speak French?
Well, I think it's more a spontaneous thing. Maybe I don't change directly into Italian or into French, but maybe I ask, where are you from? And then maybe I do change into this person's language. And I don't think that it's unpolite. Very often, my experience, very often the person is quite happy to hear that you speak their language. It's more a polite thing that somebody makes the effort to speak your language.
So you're speaking Swiss German with another Swiss German speaker, for example.
Yes.
But then a French-speaking Swiss joins the conversation, or maybe two of them, two French speakers, and an Italian join the conversation. What happens in groups? Do you stay on German or do you quickly add up how many French speakers we've got now, how many Germans, and then you change?
I think it's a more spontaneous thing than thinking, oh, which language do we have to speak? Well, if this happens at Swissinfo and let's say I'm having a conversation with you and I speak English with you and some people are joining. Let's say they don't speak English. So I know that you speak German and the others do or don't. So if the others do speak German and I know you speak fluent German, I will change into German. It's a polite thing to have the people included. If I know one of this person speaks German but the other one doesn't, so I may change into French because I know that you speak fluently French, you know? And if I'm not sure, if it's just people, I don't know which languages they speak, I will ask the question, shall we change to another language? So shall we change into English or whatever?
A common one is, shall we speak Swiss German? And I've been to press conferences where at the beginning the moderator says, is it okay to speak Swiss German? Mm-hmm. And it's usually two or three hands will go up saying,
yes,
hi German, please.
Yes, yes. Because Swiss German is really, in the German-speaking part of Switzerland, it's like the mother tongue. It's not high German. But of course, there might be people from the Ticino or from the French-speaking part of Switzerland, and they speak high German, but not dialect Swiss German. So it's to find a language that everybody understands. And maybe a person doesn't speak it very fluently, but understands it.
And I've noticed occasions, and also here at Swiss Info, where you've got two Swiss people, one from German-speaking Switzerland, one from French-speaking Switzerland, but they're speaking in English.
Yes.
Usually, that worries a few people in Switzerland.
Yes. Well, you know, it's English, of course, is the international language. I think, personally, I think it's a shame because, well, if you live in a country, a small country with that many languages, it's a shame that people don't learn to speak them.
Speaking so many languages like you, it's obviously wonderful, but is it ever too much? I mean, when you're in Spain, for example, do you ever think, ah, this is nice, I don't have to think about which language to speak?
No, not really.
It's never a burden speaking so many languages.
No, maybe sometimes, you know, you are tired and then you can't, the word comes to your mind in another language and not in English, the one you're looking for. Or maybe sometimes it's a bit exhausting, like at work where you are changing from one language to the other, you know, but all day, you know, you go to a meeting, you speak English, you come out, you speak German to another person, so maybe when you are tired. But to me, it's quite natural because I've been brought up, you know, in a bilingual context. I always spoke at home Spanish with my family, and I spoke German or Swiss German at school or outside home. And one thing I have to say is, if you are brought up bilingual, I think it's very important that if you speak to your kids, and let's say I have kids and my husband would be Swiss. So let's say I speak Spanish to the kids and my husband speaks German. So I always will have to speak in Spanish to them, even if they answer in German or Swiss German, because they know exactly that I understand them. I think that's what's important.
Belén Cordero, the multilingual head of Swiss Info's Spanish department. Once in a while, when I'm skipping through the television channels at home in Bern, I land on a programme in French, but a French that doesn't quite sound like anything spoken in France or Switzerland. These programmes, it turns out, are beamed into my flat from Quebec, Canada's largest province by area. It's 37 times the size of Switzerland, and second largest province by population. At 8.2 million, it's exactly the same as Switzerland. Canada's total population is around 36 million, of whom around 7.5 million say French is their mother tongue and the language they speak at home. Around 6.5 million of them live in Quebec, where only 8% of residents say English is their mother tongue. Graham Fraser, Canada's Commissioner of Official Languages, recently visited Bern to speak at a government event on multilingualism. He explained to Swiss Info's Dale Bechtel, himself a Swiss-Canadian, the aim of the government's language policy and the challenges of getting English speakers to learn French.
In many ways, it's misleading to say that Canada is a bilingual country if that suggests that everybody is required or even inspired to learn both languages. It is a country with two language communities, both of which are majority unilingual. And the bridge between these two communities is the federal government. And we have two official languages and a policy which is designed to ensure that Canadians don't have to learn a second language to deal with the state.
In Switzerland, there's an awareness of the importance of cultural or linguistic diversity simply because Switzerland's a small country. For example, if you go on business, if you're a German speaker living in Zurich, you can have a business lunch in Lausanne, which is French-speaking, and be back in the office in the afternoon, or vice versa. You can't do that in Canada. It's not physically possible to travel from most English parts of the country to Quebec.
Yes.
And back again. How difficult is it for you to convince, for example, the Western provinces to take the French language seriously?
What I think that Canadians in the farther reaches of the country from Quebec and from Ottawa, the capital, realize is they can have a very satisfying life and career in their region speaking English, in large parts of Quebec speaking French. But if they want to act on the national stage, then it becomes extremely important to learn the other official language. And this is something that Canadian political parties have understood, and we have not had a unilingual prime minister since 1968. It's now become routine that in every election campaign there is at least one two-hour televised debate in English and at least one two-hour televised debate in French.
Is one hindrance to English Canadians wanting or learning French the fact that the French spoken in Quebec, it's an idiom of its own because of, yes, it's not pure French as spoken in France? I mean, we often hear that argument in Switzerland. The French speakers here say, well, I've learned German in school, but I can't communicate with my Swiss German colleagues because they only speak dialect, which is very different from High German. Do you ever hear that argument?
I generally hear it from people who, as an excuse for not learning French. It's been a long time since I've heard people say, well, I speak Parisian French. I don't speak that Quebec.
But it was something that you were confronted with yourself when you were learning French.
Sure,
wasn't it?
Sure. There's no question that there is a strong accent, that there are some words or phrases that are local to Quebec. But I must say, I have seen films from England where I was wishing that there were subtitles. So I don't think that there is any greater difference between Quebec French and standard French than there is between the English spoken in Scotland and the English spoken in New York, or the English spoken in London and the English spoken in various parts of the United States.
What are you going to take away with you from this conference, this short visit to Switzerland?
I find the Swiss experience in terms of language to be fascinating. I'm also have a glimmering of understanding of the degree to which the Swiss experience is driven not only by direct democracy, but also by a drive to consensus. When the search for collaboration and consensus and compromise are the driving values of political life, it makes for a very different kind of dynamic than if you have a series of either triumphant victories or traumatic defeats as part of your existential myths as a society. So on the language issue and on so many others, my perception is of a society that seeks collaborative solutions rather than solutions that flow out of victory through conflict.
Graham Fraser, Canada's Commissioner of Official Languages, speaking to Dale Bechtel. More from this interview and the topic of multilingualism can be found at swissinfo.ch. Thanks for listening, and thanks to studio technician Daniel Wheeler. Tune in again next week. I'm Thomas Stevens.